Hi, and welcome to the fourth episode of Behind the Smiles. This week, we sat down with two longtime Operation Smile employees, Ruben Ayala and Ann Campbell. Ruben serves as our chief medical officer, and Ann is the senior director of medical oversight. Both Ann and Ruben started off as volunteers, and now they're in charge of ensuring patient safety is our top priority. Keep listening to hear stories of their early memories and reflections on how this organization has changed throughout the years.
Hi, I'm Ann Campbell, Senior Director of Medical Oversight.
And I'm Ruben Ayala, Operation Smiles Chief Medical Officer.
And we're here today so you can get to know the people behind the smiles. So Ruben, it's good to get together today. Can you tell me what you remember about why you got involved with Operation Smile?
First of all, I got involved with Operation Smile when I was 16, and I was fortunate enough to be a translator. Why did I get involved? I thought I could help, spend a few hours in VO service, and that didn't seem outrageous, but I never expected in a million years what I was going to find when I came to that hospital in my hometown of David. So see, the hospital where hundreds of children came from all over the country, truly, is located less than 15 minutes away from where I lived. And I had never seen a child with a cleft. And I didn't see one. I saw over 300 of them. And I started wondering, why is it that these kids have never received the care? And where have they been? I'm 16, I mean, at 16, I thought I was, a long time, not much older. But you do start wondering why there was such inequity and even injustice. And that's probably what I remember initially the most. I got involved because I wanted to help, but the shock of seeing the amount of need was overwhelming. And it was only matched by just the utter desire of the volunteers who had traveled from many different parts to come to my hometown without even knowing the culture or the language, because they believed that a kid they had never met was worth the chance and their efforts. That was quite inspiring. Anyway, so how about you? Can you tell me why did you get involved with Operation Smile?
Well, my story doesn't go back quite that far, but as far back as that age time, being 16, 17, I knew I had a passion for children. I dreamed of being an elementary teacher. I went to school, became an elementary teacher. Later in life, decided that I wanted to be a pediatric nurse. And I had the privilege of working in the same hospital with Dr. McGee, who was an enigma. And I heard so much about this thing, Operation Smile, and wondered what it was. So my children were older, and I really had this passion to want to give back. I didn't fully understand, living in a little bubble here in the United States, all the incredible need that's out there in the world, but heard wonderful things and just kept pursuing. And in 2002, was invited on my first mission, and that was just the beginning of the wonderful journey that we've both been able to be a part of.
It's been a wonderful journey for you.
It's been a wonderful journey, and it's been a journey. out of all that you've done, you were 16, and you've grown up with the organization. What is the most rewarding aspect of what you've come through and what you actually do now?
That's a very difficult question, because there's just so much reward out of being involved in a global family like this one. But I can probably say that at this point in my life, as a father of a little three-year-older who is my world, understanding that we're helping kids like my own is something that is very easy to relate to as one of the most rewarding things one can ever imagine. And even going further, if we look at not only the children that we're taking care of, but their moms and dads, mm-hmm. and what they hope for them, what they wish for them, what they want for them, and how through taking care of the children, we're not only taking care of children, we're actually living up to the hopes and dreams and making a promise that is a sacred promise to moms and dads all over the world that we'll be there for them. It's also knowing that you can play a small role in the improvement of human condition, that is extremely rewarding. And that's just the beginning.
How does your role as chief medical officer uplift that?
We can talk about a promise, and we can talk about commitment, and we can talk about passion, but it also, the only way that actually is fulfilled is if we translate action into excellence. And when we take care of children, when we're trying to do offer health, we have to be excellent every step of the way. So as a chief medical officer, I'm accompanied by an incredible group of medical experts who are part of the Operation Smile organization, either as a staff or as volunteers, who do everything they can to share their talents and knowledge and live up to that promise of excellence, not only in a way that's passionate, but in a way that's very well informed and instructed. So the promise is fulfilled by the commitment of people who have their heart and they have their talents and they offer both. Mm-hmm. And since the early 2000s, you've been part of Operation Smile. There must be one out of many opportunities that you saw with families, or a memory that you have today that you hold dear as one of the most significant ones that you've had over the years.
Well, I listened to you talking about your precious child, and I think about my four precious grandchildren, and it just adds a whole dimension to what we do and why we do it. And I do have a special memory that is just an incredible memory. In August of 2015, in my current role under the medical oversight team, I was actually in Brazil on a mission as a medical oversight participant, and we were admitting the patients the night before the first day of surgery, and I went and rounded with a pediatrician, and there was a young lady there. She was a young teenager, and she had this beautiful smile on her face. She was there with her grandmother. I didn't speak any Portuguese. She didn't speak English. Mm-hmm. There was something magical that just drew me into the room. So I went in and gave her a big hug, and through translation, asked her what she was there for and what she was going to have done. And she was there for a palate revision, and there was just something that continued to draw me to her the next day during her surgery day and the following morning when she was being discharged. So when she was getting discharged, one of our other volunteers was actually sitting with them and asking some questions about her journey and her visit and their care. Mm-hmm. And the grandmother was looking at me very funny. And I asked her, I said, when did you have your lip repaired as a child? And she said, I had my lip repaired in 2002 in Goiânia, Brazil. And my heart stopped and the hairs on the back of my neck rose and my eyes teared up. And I said, wait a minute, that was my very first mission with Operation Smile. And she looked at me and she said, I know, the grandmother. She said, I know, I remember you. Well, there wasn't a dry eye
of course
on that sofa that day when I realized, what are the chances that a child on my very first mission that I'm gonna see 14, 15 years later as this young adult and this beautiful woman. So that stands out in my mind. And many other beautiful children and volunteers that we've been able to work with.
It comes full circle.
It does come full circle. And that's the beauty of the job and the ability to just be part of the amazing work that we do. So how has your work with Operation Smile changed you as a person, from that 16-year-old to a dad, and really just how you view the work that we do now, and when you look into the future especially? We're both tearing up, I can tell.
That's a deep question. For as many flaws as a human being as I have, I cannot imagine my life without the experiences that I've had through Operation Smile and with Operation Smile over the years, and the lessons I've learned through Operation Smile and thanks to Operation Smile. It's enriched me because I believe in a world where people are kind, because I've seen it every day. I believe in a world that doesn't care whether you have a specific race or religion, because when we take care of children, you only care about the child. Mm-hmm. I still believe that there's overall goodness in human condition, and it'll be hard not to when I've seen so many amazing people do so much for children. There's a lot of inspiration for so many of us who've been part of this organization. And the inspiration starts with our co-founders who had a dream, and continues with our volunteers who are willing to give everything they have, and goes on with people who join the effort. And it's actually most probably as it's at its purest form when we are inspired by fathers and mothers who do everything for their children, and ultimately by the utter joy and jubilation that you get when everybody actually plays a role in changing someone's life.
That's so true, because I remember so many times when a parent comes up and thanks you, and I remember being so humbled and thinking, no, I thank you because you have given me an opportunity to experience something so many people in this world will never experience. And it is true. There are so many similarities in just being a parent and just looking through the eyes of a parent. And like you said, it doesn't matter where you come from, what your religion, your race, what you believe. At that moment in time, you merely want the best for your child, for yourself, for your family, and for whatever life has in front of you. And to be able to be a part of that, and we both know how precious our Operation Smile family is, which is not just the employees here who are incredible, but the people that we have been absolutely blessed and gifted to come to know that demonstrate true humanity and kindness all over the world, not just where we live. How many people will ever have that opportunity to experience that?
You know, it is true. And for so many of us who get a chance to get up in the morning and come to work for Operation Smile every day.
We're
inspired. We get up in the morning excited because we know someone at some point, somewhere in the world, is helping us do something. You know, for as much as we sometimes talk about doctors and nurses, how about the students?
How about the students?
How about the...
How their lives are changed.
Let me switch for a second because there's a lot that goes into Smile. So, when you go on Operation Smile missions, have you seen a young person do something extraordinary that you would have never imagined someone of that age could do?
I always say when I come into this building or when I go on a program and I see those young people, they absolutely restore my hope in humanity. Because I watch incredible people who, like me on my first mission, didn't really know what was in store for me. And they're throwing themselves out there 150% to the experience and to contribute. And I've watched young person after young person who might be a little timid on the first day, jump in and get in the middle of a group of kids and become a child themselves and bond with those children, bond with those parents, hold the hand of, I mean, here's a teenager who will hold the hand of a parent at probably one of their most vulnerable times and offer some comfort, offer some fun. They come around on the post-op ward and bring their bubbles and get right in there with the children and just become a part. And I watch them unlayer the story and get to understand who these families are and where they come from and what life is like and what we're offering them. And then I watch them leave and I just look after them and say a prayer because I know that forever their life is going to be changed from that one experience.
And there's hope, right?
And there, there is hope. There is hope.
Sure. Yeah. One thing that I would say, and you probably will agree with me, in, is that when you're trying to create a smile, when you're trying to take care of a child, everybody has a role to play.
Everybody. And you may come in with a preconceived notion of what you think your role is, and your role shifts. And you may do your professional role, but I will tell you that each one of us becomes whatever we need to be in that moment for that child and that family, whether it's a hand to hold, a smile to have, hope to offer.
Wait, since you're talking about so many roles, why don't you tell me about maybe some of the roles you've had to play over the years?
Well, golly dang, nursing is just a natural entry into everything from teacher to caretaker to social worker to, I mean, obviously nurses wear many, many hats. But I find that the incredible part of just being part of a mission and part of the programs that we do is not only working with the patient and the family and to provide whatever they need in that moment. And it can be laughing together. It can be understanding each other better. Oftentimes, it's just wanting to get to know who you are and what you bring and where you're from and just that open engagement. But I will tell you that some of the most incredible moments are working alongside staff. Mm-hmm. And it can be fellow nurses, it can be doctors, it can be speech pathologists, whatever. And working together and appreciating that we're all trying to do the same thing and realizing that these are the most incredible people who actually live here and will be the caretakers when we're long gone. And what can we do to exchange ideas and share knowledge and skills and learn from each other about different ways to look at things and different ways to do things that are just and safe and high quality so that we've empowered a force to leave behind.
Yeah.
And we're working ourselves out of jobs. Mm-hmm. We should be working ourselves out of jobs.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because when we started this conversation, I was talking to you about how shocked I was that the kids in my hometown had not, in my country, really had not received care. And probably one of the most special moments in my life was 5 or 6 years later when I came back to Panama, then as an Operation Smile program coordinator, or mission coordinator as we used to be called then, and see the first program put together solely by Panamanians. And it clicked.
Mm-hmm.
The people who came back in 1992 to take care of kids, they were not just taking care of kids, they were working with my countrymates.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sort of showing the path for engagement so that everybody could use their talents and come together to create an organization that would fulfill the commitment that every single one of them had as an individual but could not fulfill mm-hmm. as a unit. And it's a moment of celebration. So today when I go to Panama to an Operation Small Mission, I always get a chance to remember that moment and in time when we became one of the first countries to actually say, we've learned, we got it, we'll take care of our kids. Amazing example that people have set for us and we're here for them. And you know, that continues in different countries.
It does, and those are some of my most precious moments in the recent years as an employee. And part of the medical oversight team is, you know, of course, being a nurse and being able to provide care is a cherished position. But what I celebrate the most now is when I'm working with a team and we're in a country and you're working with someone there who you have actually watched grow as a professional mm-hmm. and grow with the passion of what we do and literally take over your job and do it so beautifully. And it's their people and mm-hmm. they speak the language and they have devised such creative ways to do yep. things that we can't
solutions.
Even dream about.
Solutions. Yes.
Yes.
Probably some of the other things that I remember was the first time a country ever said, hey, you know, it's great that we do missions and take care of kids this way, but we want a home for them every day of the year. And I recall Colombia being one of those countries. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they created this center concept for Operation Smile. And now how many centers do we have around the world?
Oh, my gosh, I've lost count. And I think that highlights what we've grown to because 37 years ago, we really just wanted to come in and provide a surgery sure. to a child who would have had no need to have a surgery otherwise. And today, we can celebrate the amazing places where that child does have an Operation Smile home with dental care and speech care and psychologic care and someone who knows who they are by name and tracks them and cares about what they're going to be in the next 10 years. And I don't know that we could have dreamed that
no.
37 years ago.
So, you know, as you and I talk about all the really good things, I think probably it's good to remember that the job is far from over. So we still have a lot to do.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that you would say to or share with your friends and family as you're trying to do these things? Or how would you encourage others to be part of the global family of Operation Smile? And if you were trying to encourage others, what would you tell them? What can they do to help us fulfill the goal of taking care of every child everywhere who might need help?
I think the general public often doesn't appreciate how many hidden in the shadows and disenfranchised children there are and the barriers of access to care. So we are working really hard to try and make sure we're unlayering that so we're finding and cutting down those barriers to provide free care to families and children who otherwise would have no care. But additionally, I think what we miss the mark on sometimes is the education piece and the trainings and the programs where we are in places and empowering teams and growing them up and providing, whether it's equipment training, like I said, knowledge and skill sharing so that they become the experts in the care. And that is something that everyone should get excited about, because at the end of the day, you want the same care that you and I have access to on a daily basis to be the standard of care that every child in the world has access to.
Yeah.
And that's not happened yet. So we do still have a lot of work to do.
A lot of work to do, for sure. You know, one thing I'm very proud of at Operation Smile is that we are a group of human beings that create this global family who is unwilling to say no. There are, if there is an intervention, if there's something we know has to be done and can be done, and we have the skills and the talents and the opportunity to impact people and families, we're not going to say no.
We may have to dig deep to find the solution,
yes,
but we won't say no.
Yeah. So I guess in the spirit of that statement, what are some of the craziest out of left field moments that you've had where we've actually said, no, we're not going to give up, and we actually came through with something that was meaningful?
Oh, my goodness, gosh. That's a tough
one. I mean, it can be from a patient to a whole system.
That's still a tough one. I mean, I think back, too, on something that I thought was a little crazy, which was our World Care Program. Mm-hmm. And we forget that we actually have a commitment to larger scale cases around the globe. And I've had the privilege, and that was life changing for myself and my mm-hmm. family, to actually house, you know, a young lady from Iraq for 8 or 9 months to make sure that she had access to the care that she really mm-hmm. needed. And, you know, talk about crazy, you know, I thought, well, you know, we've done that and that was really good. And then I found myself doing it 2 more times. So be careful what you say, one and done, or, you know, yeah, I've done that.
There's always more.
It is absolutely impossible to say no when there's need.
Yeah. And when you have the chance to actually make a difference.
And when you have the chance to impact, you know, one child at a time. I mean, you can get overwhelmed if you look at the impact numerically around the globe and, you know, all of the challenges of different regions, countries, regulations, whatever. I mean, you know, that's some of the harebrained things we have to do, is figure out how we're going to get something somewhere, how we're going to get an education program into something that where it just doesn't look logical. But like you said, we don't say no. And when those puzzle pieces are getting clunky, and you're playing Jenga and everything looks like it's falling, somehow we just keep at it. And we come up with a solution. So we are extremely solution driven. Sometimes crazy solutions, but we come up with them. We get cargo into places that we probably shouldn't get cargo. We get manpower into places where it looked like there was no one to go, but you just keep calling and calling, mm-hmm. and suddenly there's your A team on the ground mm-hmm. and, you know, working magic. So, golly day, there's so many examples. Can you think of anything?
Gosh, endless. From the patient who was sick, but had to wait, and we were ready to say we can operate on this child, to not say no and actually offering treatment and see if the improvement was enough, so mm-hmm. we could take care of that child, and we did successfully. Yeah. To the countries that said, would you mind coming to help us? And we were at that point really busy and said, it might be difficult, but we actually said, let's look into this, and we're now working together, taking care of thousands of children. Or to the countries that said, we don't really need any help because we don't have any children here. And we said, no, there are children, trust us.
Yeah.
We will find them. And now
look at what we've uncovered.
Thousands of children having yes. receiving care. Or to projects that over the years, volunteers and staff members and communities and sponsors and supporters have come together to do, such as the World Unit of Smiles and World Unit of Hope, where we wanted to make a statement that the effort was a global effort, that volunteers from around the world could come together at a moment in time and create something significant, of thousands of children being operated and treated all at the same time. You know, to think about the image of a sunrise coming in at in some part of the world and children being cared for as another sunset was coming in another part of the world.
I think we all thought that was a little crazy, but it was amazing.
Yeah, how about creating centers of excellence where we have taking care of thousands where in the most remote of places, mm-hmm. where people wouldn't say, would say, you can't do a center like that in, mm-hmm. in that remote location. So I guess my sense on what I get from you is we're never going to say no if we believe we can achieve something. And as an organization, there's been plenty of examples where the power of unity actually achieves it.
And I think what we're going to be known for, you know, there are many organizations, but I think what Operation Smile is really going to be known for is that passion and commitment to creating completeness of care. That these are our patients, we're a family, and we are going to keep striving and reaching and stretching and not saying no and trying to figure out how we can provide the highest level of care throughout the spectrum that a cleft patient can expect.
Absolutely. You know, with let me share something that I just saw, because obviously people around the world in most countries get to see Facebook, and there was not too long ago this challenge of 2009 versus 2019 and how people look, and everybody was posting their pictures. Someone actually posted a patient in 1999, 2009, and 2019, and the transformation was incredible.
Really?
And at some point someone said, oh gosh, I'm kind of tired of seeing this 2009 and 2019 from everybody, but when they saw that, they said, this is a change that's worth seeing. And a reminder to us all that, you know, we get excited with what happens time, but what we get to do together is timeless. It continues and carries on in the opportunities that people get due to the power and the engagement of so many people like you and others.
Yes, and I feel absolutely blessed, privileged, and gifted to have had the part and to have just heard who Doc was and what Operation Smile was 17 years ago. And could never, ever in 100 years have predicted this journey. Mm-hmm. So I think we both sort of sit back and say, wow, it's been an incredible journey. And I really appreciate you sharing your perspective.
I appreciate getting a chance to sit down with you and hear from your heart and from mine all these memories. And looking forward to the next 10, 20 years ahead, right?
Yes, Lord knows where we'll be.
That concludes this week's episode. Operation Smile is made up of so many staff and volunteers who have committed their lives to helping the patients we serve. Ann and Ruben are just two examples of many. We're so grateful for what they do to help children born with cleft around the world. If you're interested in donating or getting involved, click the link in the episode description. Let us know you're listening by screenshotting this episode and posting it on your story with hashtag #BehindTheSmiles. You may get a shout out on our social media channels and in the next episode. You can find more great stories about the work we're doing on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching Operation Smile. Finally, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. We put out new episodes every other Wednesday.